This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Man, people love the Jim Pete episode. People want more Jim Pete. Jim Pete Thursdays.
Who doesn't?
Sorry, we're buzz killing by not having three Jim Petes on the episode here. We're buzz killing.
Can't go wrong with Jim Pete.
He's great because he is a Pied Piper for the fans who's not afraid to say something critical.
Exactly.
And he understands that just because you say something critical doesn't mean that you're like out on the team or not a fan or whatever. He has walked that line brilliantly for 20
plus years. Because he's passionate. Because he's truly passionate. So if they're playing poorly or if a guy is playing poorly, he'll say so. He is the, if you were to say to a player who would want to get into the business, if that player were to say, who should I study? Jim Pete. Study
how
Jim
do
Pete.
How do you build a deep connection with the fan base while still telling the truth on TV when it warrants it? This year, there's not as much to tell the truth about on the negative side for the Wolves because they're
his Jaden McDaniels
42
stuff
and 17.
The last 2 weeks has been really good, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's really, you know, when Jaden plays well now, he says it and he talks about that, but he's also talked about the shortcomings there, and it's just really insightful.
That was one of the, and we'll get to a Feedback Friday edition here of Flagrant Howls, so thank you guys for listening to or watching this Timberwolves lifestyle podcast. But that was one of the talkers yesterday between me, Jim, and Kyle was, okay, like Kyle's stance is, and it's correct in the moment, Jaden McDaniels is a $2 million player this year. Like, his contract hasn't kicked in yet.
Sure.
He's essentially being told, like, dude, stand in the corner on offense and then go play Clamps defense. And you're not a featured part of the offensive. You're basically open in the corner, and once in a while, maybe the ball will swing to you and you drive in. He's not being asked to do much more.
Right.
And yet people are like wringing their hands over, whether he's a bust with the contract and stuff. And I do agree with what he's making this year and what he's being asked to do this year. He is wildly exceeding the $2 million or whatever he's making. Once it kicks into the $25 million. Yeah, you probably need more rebounds. You'd like to see a step forward, and that's kind of where Jim and I were coming from yesterday. Yep.
I think Jim would like to see him be more assertive. Like, he's sort of been put into a passive role from the team standpoint, but I think Jim's point is that doesn't mean that you have to play passive, especially in things like rebounding, right? Like, it seems like Jaden gets down in the dauber at times.
Yeah, he's...
And it's a tough role.
Yeah, that's been, he gets in his feelings a little bit, but yeah. That's the other crazy thing before we get to feedback about this year's team compared to last year's team. They got beaten 5 against the Nuggets, but it was a fight in some of those games, and the Nuggets came out after they won their championship, 2 months later, and were like, man, as we look back, the Wolves actually give us more of a fight than some of these other teams. And that Wolves team did not have Jaden McDaniels or Naz Reid. And Naz Reid is better now than he was a year ago. Mm-hmm. He integrates better with Gobert and Towns than he did a year ago. Mm-hmm. Towns is better now than he was a year ago in this iteration of the Wolves roster. Gobert is better this year than he was a year ago. And Anthony Edwards is better now than he was a year ago. And Conley, a full year of Conley. So... it's going to be, man, to see some of these matchups. Let's get to the first Feedback Friday thing here. We got a few to get to. This is actually, I'm taking something that a bunch of people have sent over via Twitter or YouTube. I'm putting a bunch of different MVP related questions into one here, which is, should Anthony Edwards be a more serious MVP candidate? The latest odds say that Nikola Jokic is the odds-on favorite, minus 140, to win another MVP. I think it'd be his third MVP, right? Mm-hmm. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is second right now. He's averaging like 31 points efficiently with Oklahoma City. Just, man, like that dude, to see where he was a few years ago, he's a good player, but I mean, he's literally become one of the five or six best players in the NBA.
It's a hell of a trade for the OKC Thunder now.
Yeah, did they think they were getting, they thought they were getting a good player. Did they think they were getting like the best guard in the NBA when they made that trade? I don't know.
I saw a quote from somebody at the time. I forget who it was with the Clippers who said, okay, we'll make this trade, but we are trading away a future all-star player. Like, this guy's going to be great.
Okay.
So
Luka Doncic is third. And then there's a huge gap and you get to Giannis at plus 2000. So 20-1, Jason Tatum is fifth. Kawhi Leonard is sixth, and Anthony Edwards is tied with Jalen Brunson for seventh right now in the MVP race. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel like maybe Anthony Edwards should be higher up, but what do you guys think? The fact that he's not a serious MVP contender, but he's like, you know, on the fringes, he's seventh right now on the odds list. You might make a case that Rudy Gobert is actually the one that's getting snubbed by not being higher up, the best defensive player on the best defense in the NBA. But what should Ant be getting more consideration here?
So when you sent out this question this morning, I sat down with my sports dad notepad and started to jot down some thoughts. Cause my immediate response, because I watch Ant play a lot. No, this isn't a nice pen. Because I watch Ant play a lot, my immediate response was, well, yes, he probably is. But so here are my thoughts. And the Gobert thing that you brought up actually factors in. My first thought is part of what I think takes away from Ant and his candidacy is while he leads the team in scoring with 26.6 points per game, the Wolves themselves are not a dynamic offensive team. I think they're 19th in scoring. So they're not like, he's not part of the 98 Vikings, right? Like Moss. He's not the go-to guy for a team that's top five in scoring. My other points were he's on a team that is right now, right or wrong, not a national marquee team, and probably, and this will solve a lot of things for next season, if it's done, it probably needs to make a playoff run, right?
But like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander isn't on a national marquee team either in Oklahoma City, but true. He also scores like, he's second in scoring, exactly. Like 31 points a game, exactly. It's he's flashier, seen as more, I get it.
He's seen as more dynamic than Ant, and so... But I do think that if this team can make a playoff run, and then obviously if you do, you're on ESPN TNT all the time, that's going to change things. And then it changes your scheduling as far as national marquee matchups on national TV next season. And then my final point is, and you broached this with Gobert, I thought the same thing about Kat. While I think we all agree this is Ant's team, there are other players who are definitely factors. Gobert has been fantastic. I mean, he's come back from what was a huge disappointing first season with the Wolves and been great. Kat deserves a ton of credit. And like, people might think it's Ant's team, but Kat's still going to be part of the starring bill here. And so I think that there is an explanation here. And you know what, too? The other thing with Ant is, and he probably just flat out because it's not as sexy, and Ant talked about this extensively with an F-bomb after doing such a great job against Jaren Jackson Jr.
It was a very well-timed,
a Memphis
effective F-bomb.
Well, and it also wasn't angry. It was just a F-bomb, which I loved. But his defensive prowess, like in that game and in certain games, where he just decides, screw it, I'm going to lock down a guy, and then does it, probably doesn't get the same recognition nationally for sure that like if he was on a dynamic scoring team. So I think that there are reasons why he's tied for seventh, but I think a lot of those things could be fixed by a playoff run. And basically now Barkley starts to talk about you more, which might seem silly, but it's probably important. Shaq does.
Real quick on that front. I think, I can't remember if we talked about this last week. So if I'm repeating this for you guys, then sorry, but I was watching Get Up with our guy Greeny. And he put out, this was earlier in the week, maybe like Monday.
Oh, yeah.
And he put out his top five future faces of the NBA, because that was a big discussion over the All-Star break. And I can't remember what it was. I think Giannis was on the list and he's 29. So he's projecting kind of 5 years out. And I don't remember what the exact list was, but it did not include Anthony Edwards. So they bring in Austin Rivers, who's now an ESPN contributor, former Timberwolf, and they bring Austin Rivers up from his home studio. And okay. And Greeny's a friend of the old radio show. I love me some Greeny, but Austin, he goes, Austin, what do you think of my list? The top five future faces of the NBA. And Austin's like, it's fine, but dude, where's Anthony Edwards? Mm-hmm. And he starts making the case for Anthony Edwards, having played with him. He's a dynamic scorer. He's a lockdown defender. He's got a personality. His game has flair, which oftentimes is something that, you know, I think gets voters more excited. And Greeny said, okay, no, that's a fair point. It's a fair point. We probably should make room for him. But my counter to that is the Timberwolves have been the number one team in the Western Conference all season, and nobody talks about them. Nobody talks about him. It's like, Greeny, my guy, my buddy, you are the lead host of the number one cable TV sports talk morning show. And you have a nationally syndicated ESPN radio show for all the radio affiliates. You can't say credibly that nobody talks about, no one talks about him. Well, you could talk about them with your platforms, right? So, but you're right. And Declan's been saying this all year until the Wolves actually pay it off with a deep playoff run, they're going to be seen as this fun little team that, oh, congratulations, you're relevant for the first time. And well, when did KG leave? 2008, right? So like they have to create their own buzz from that perspective. Mm-hmm.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Yeah, it's interesting that in the NBA, because fans were so spoiled with Steph teams with the Lakers and obviously LeBron with the Cavs and also the Lakers. Like, there was just great super teams and dynasties there. The Spurs were also there for a while. The Thunder, when they were at there was just a pecking order that all these teams and all the league respected. And now the tides have shifted, right? Like, Denver wins a national title. The Wolves are number one team in the West. Milwaukee won a title a couple years ago. And I think it's hard for all these like national talking heads to grasp that, hey, we're moving on from the LeBron, the Steph era, and we're moving into the SGAs and the Anthony Edwards. I think Jason Tatum was also on Greeny's list. Like, we're moving on to the next era, but it's hard for us to really understand. Like, we have to take the Thunder and the Wolves and obviously the Nuggets. We have to now put them on the same patriarchy as what the Warriors and Cavs were from 10 years ago.
But the NFL is the same way. Like the NFL, right, the best teams and quarterbacks in the league, you could say Kansas City, Missouri, mm-hmm, right? Buffalo, New York. Look at the teams that were in the divisional round. There's a team from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yep.
You've got all these kind of random, because it's not like it was 25 or 30 years ago. People making the market-sized argument now, like Declan brought up some of the recent NBA champions, Milwaukee, Denver. You know, the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks and the Los Angeles Lakers aren't the only three teams, and the Golden State Warriors aren't the only four teams in the NBA. So I would say if your argument on a national platform is, well, no one talks about them. Well, if you talked about them, maybe people would be interested.
Right.
I don't know.
But the Wolves, you know what, though? I'm fine with this because they've been dormant for so long, and they popped up the last, I think that they actually, with the win against the Grizzlies, clinched their third consecutive winning season, which is a miracle in itself.
Dude, they've already matched last year's win total.
I know, 42 wins, which is, but I'm fine with how this is playing out, because I do think that it gives them incentive to say, we haven't done a thing yet, right? Like we still need to be considered relevant. I think the other thing with the Wolves, I think where the Wolves and OKC, and I'd be curious to get your guys' thoughts on this. I think where they differ is, you know, OKC was really a relevant team with three stars, what, about 10 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been, I mean, as you said, Phil, Garnett left in 2008. And you know, as Cat has been up until this year, I think, ridiculed as much nationally as praised, if not more. Ant's the first like real dynamic star. So I sort of get why there's a skepticism or just a ignoring so far. But I would rather Ant play like this. Like I love the fact that what he did against Jaren Jackson Jr., like that was damn impressive.
Yeah. And then the flex as Triple J is walking back to the bench. I'll give you, before we get to the next feedback thing here, I don't think he's the MVP. I think that would be way too much of a homerish thing to say with Jokic and SGA. Like, those guys are what those guys are doing. But I think the case for him being higher up on the list would be the Wolves are the number one team in the Western Conference, and Anthony Edwards is the biggest difference maker on versus off the court. In fact, when you start to parse through the Wolves lineups, the Wolves are 10 points better per 100 possessions when Anthony Edwards is on the court versus off the court. Best on the team. With Rudy Gobert, it's a 7-point difference. So the Wolves are 7 points better when Gobert's on the court versus off the court per 100 possessions. Mike Conley is a +3. Naz Reid is like a +3. This is not a knock on Cat. He's been wonderful, and he helps the entire team be great. But the Wolves are break even when Cat is on the court versus off the court. So you could, and again, like, all these guys are, it's a little deceiving because that doesn't mean that they're break even with or without him against other teams. It means at the level that they're playing, which is better than all the other teams in the West, Anthony Edwards is driving the most difference in terms of on off than any other player on the team. So, you know, if you're the most impactful player on the best team in the Western Conference, yeah, you should be in the mix for MVP discussion, I would say.
So where, if you could go back into the odds that you went through, where do you think he should be?
I think he's above, for this year.
Right.
I think he's above Tatum and Giannis. And I know that you could call me a hypocrite for saying what I just said about Ant and saying that he should be above Jason Tatum, because I'm guessing without looking that Jason Tatum is probably the most impactful player with the same statistic on an even better team in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think he's in that. I think he's in that mix. I'm not putting him above Jokic. I'm not putting him above SGA. I mean, Luka Doncic is absurd. He's putting up historical numbers just every year. But I think you could move. I think I'm for sure moving Anthony Edwards above Kawhi Leonard. He's behind Kawhi Leonard. I'm putting him above Kawhi Leonard. Yep. And then I think it's a conversation with Jason Tatum and maybe Giannis. So especially the way the Bucks have kind of sputtered with the firing of a coach, and
Bucks have had a weird season, man.
You can't be an MVP if you're getting a coach fired. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to Keistland on the YouTube channel. Marcus Morris just got his buyout finally from the San Antonio Spurs. He's been sitting around for the last month or so. So that's a name that was pre-trade deadline. Doogie was floating him. He's a guy that has a ton of playoff experience. I'll just say I'm interested. I don't think he's a key contributor that's going to move the needle for the rest of the season, but I think he's a guy that he's probably going to get some DNPs on certain nights, but he's a 38% career three-point shooter. He's a big dude at 6'8". He helps with your length. And is he a guy that maybe in certain playoff series you could run out there for like 10 or 12 minutes and give you some effective minutes off the bench? If he's okay catching some DNPs, because this team is loaded right now.
Right.
And he's not going to be a malcontent, and I don't think he would sign here if he wasn't okay with those conditions, then yeah, I think him as like the 10th guy, I'm interested.
Who does he potentially take playing time away from when he does play?
I mean, it would be little nibbles here and there. It would be like if you feel like tonight's a night where you need some three-point shooting in the corner and Kyle Anderson can be moved to the bench for some. I don't think you would flat out bench a player without getting any minutes. He would nibble into other guys' minutes. Okay. If you felt like maybe Nikhil Alexander-Walker was a little small for a matchup or something.
Yep.
But that dude is a beast.
Well, if he's a playoff guy, I'm fine with it, because that's like, once you get there, role players are so incredibly important.
Yeah. No, he could be. There's a Cat question here that I feel like might be triggering. So before we get there, let's take a deep breath and talk about our friends at Livia here, Judd. Okay.
I'm feeling happy now. I'm feeling happy because if you're watching this right now, you're seeing Sports Dad on the left, Sports Dad on the right, and you're saying that's a different Sports Dad. It's not a different Sports Dad. Both are me, but the guy on the right down 40 pounds thanks to Livia Weight Control Centers, which makes me joyous to talk about them, because I know that they help me and I know that they can help you. And they're not only going to help you lose the weight, they're going to help you keep the weight off. Their dietitians and nutritionists are outstanding. They are there to support you. Your check-ins are great. And by the way, if you're not in the state, it doesn't matter, because the whole program can be done virtually. And do I have an offer for you now? Talk about a first-round draft pick. Talk about the opportunity. It's this, 3 months for free. That's right. Your first 3 months are free. 855-GO-LIVIA, livia.com. I'll spell it for you. LIVEA.com. That is your ticket to weight loss.
Also, our friends at First Equity Mortgage are very helpful, specifically David, who... So David has overseen First Equity 24 years in the market, Minnesota-based. They pride themselves on supporting the community and treating every customer as a friend and neighbor, which is the treatment that I received a few years ago when I refinanced the home that I was living in at the time. David's also a 20-year season ticket holder of Lynx and Timberwolves basketball, so you can see him roaming around Target Center. Not only did I have a great experience with First Equity, but First Equity has also handled home loans or refis for 20 of my coworkers and friends. It's a great experience, and you can find out more at femort.com. That's femort.com or scorenorth.com, keyword David. Okay, back to the feedback here, boys. This one's from Doc. Okay.
All right, Doc.
Just for some context, on yesterday's episode with Kyle and Jim Pete, Jim Pete went on a little bit of a rant about how great Kat's been this season. He's 100% right. And he started talking about like the people that are hating on Kat, this, that, and the other, right? And so Doc says, "Hey, Mackie, the look on your face when Jim Pete started praising Kat and ripping the Kat haters was priceless. The look of shame and embarrassment on your face was wonderful. You didn't even say a peep as Jim Pete attacked the Kat haters and praised Kat. Just like with your hate for Kirk Cousins, your hate for Carl Anthony Towns is completely filled with lies and irrelevancies."
Oh, where's the popcorn? Get me my popcorn.
There is more to this email too, but for time purposes.
Can you recreate the look on your face?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. This is my new favorite. This happens too with other players. I'm sure you maybe get this with hockey players too. You guys on Judd's Hockey Show, baseball players. If a player is underperforming, or in the case of Carl Anthony Towns, like his behavior and his lack of maturity and the spastic offensive fouls and everything, like he's doing that for multiple years and it's shipwrecking Wolves playoff games. It's shipwrecking important regular season games. And like, I called him out for it. Oh, got a microphone. I observe the behavior. I call him out.
Right.
But then in 2023, 2024, Carl comes back and he has corrected many of the issues that I believe he was rightfully criticized for in 2020, 21, 22, 23. When's the last time you saw his behavior shipwreck a game for the Timberwolves? His shooting is better. Awesome. His behavior is better. Dude, his average personal fouls per game is down a half a foul per game. Like, he's committing way fewer fouls.
But once you commit to something, Phil, you can't go back on it. You hate it.
That's what's amazing. It's like with Kirk. You were wrong all along. Wait a second. No, if a player has definitively changed in certain areas, it's
once
so
you
stupid.
Pick your path on a player, you are like the fact that you hated Kirk when he won 13 games in 2022, and Declan and I were like, "Oh my God, Kirk Cousins is playing so well. We've always loved Kirk. Go Kirk, rah rah!" And you're like, "No, I'm not even watching games anymore." No, the look on your face when Kirk was having a great season, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, you got me. Like, here's the thing. It's funny, Carl Anthony. So guys like Doc, and I'm sure there's other ones, they see Carl last year and the year before versus this year, and they see the same player, which is insane to me, and it's wildly incorrect, right? Objectively, Carl is averaging the fewest personal fouls per game since the 2016-17 season for him. He was literally 21 years old the last time he averaged 3.2 fouls per game instead of 3.8 or almost 4. I mean, he was averaging almost 4 fouls per game last year.
What's the most important thing, like from a starting point, what's the most important thing about this entire team this season? Everybody knows their role.
And Carl is playing his role so perfectly this season.
And so is Gobert. Like, Gobert was really hanky, didn't know his role last year. Like from a starting point, and it's probably a credit to Chris Finch, from a starting point, everybody knows their role. And, you know, I think when we say things in the summer like, this needs to be Ant's team, the thought process is, you're dissing Carl. You hate Carl. You hate him so much. You guys hate him. And it's like, no, he needs to know his role. Well, guess who figured that out? Carl.
But also, like, the thing that, like, do you want me to go replay you some of those Memphis playoff games? Did we forget like that?
Yes. Yeah.
Those dud performances exist in his timeline. But this year, this is probably the best version of him that we've seen in his 9 years in the NBA. But he's been wonderful this year.
But the defenders of specific players, their thought process is with the bad games were never their fault. There always was a factor that made their game. So like when Carl played great in the playoffs, credit to Carl, which, yeah, okay, that's true. But then when he had a bad game and he would complain the whole game, it was like, well, can't you tell his teammates aren't? So like, that's the thing about Kirk too. It's the same exact thing. Well, how can you blame Kirk for that? Well, because he's a quarterback and makes a lot of money. That's the other one I love now is, well, could you guys do it? Well, no, but I'm also not paid millions of dollars to do it. Like,
I can sit top of the key and shoot 44% from NBA three. I don't know what you're talking about.
If we were making the same salaries, then you'd have a case. But anyway, yeah.
Why can't we just leave it at Carl has been awesome this year?
Yeah.
And in previous years, he's also been really good with some major deficiencies that the Timberwolves matched last season's win total with like 23 games left on the schedule.
Absolutely.
Because guys are better in a lot of areas than they were last year, right? And and Carl being healthy too and playing 57 games so far. And
Rudy being healthy. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, but I will say this. Nobody was harder locally on Carl at times than Jim Peete previously.
Yeah. Is he an idiot? Is he a hater?
I mean, Jim Peete flat out would say, and he still says, like, that one of the things I love about Jim Peete with credibility because he played and coached, like, he doesn't call out guys and just bash them. He tells you what they're doing that bothers him.
Yep. And Carl, I am a cat stan in 2024 right now. That dude has absolutely turned a corner, and bravo to him for maybe looking in the mirror on some stuff. And he's been a huge reason why this is the number one team in the Western Conference. Okay, last feedback thing from Kyle Kirchival. So our last episode in the title, we said something special is happening with the Timberwolves. And he's responding to that episode saying, the something special happening is that the Wolves are about to get run over by the Thunder and the Nuggets, finish third in the West, and then get knocked out in the first round by the Pelicans. How do we get rid of this? I feel like a lot of fans are still harboring really cynical feelings about this franchise from previous years. Do we need to have like an exorcism or something of Timberwolves past so that we can get away from this level of cynicism?
All right. As a licensed Minnesota sports psychologist, sports dad will say this. It has occurred to me, and this is going to sound like a cliche, but it's not. It has occurred to me that the fear about this team is founded in this. We have seen instances this season where it's very clear to me that if the Timberwolves lose like early in the playoffs, it's going to be because they beat themselves. Like, I honestly don't think that there's a team that's going to come in and steamroll them. And it's going to be one of these, oh my God, they just weren't that good, huh? I don't think that's the case. I think there is some trepidation because at times we've seen them play games where it's like they literally beat themselves. Now, the Memphis game on Wednesday, they trailed 14 rip and came back and were fine and won. The playoffs can be a bit different. So I do want to see that consistency there. And I do want to see all the pieces work together. But this whole thing of, well, they're just going to get drilled, I don't agree with. Because I do think that they are one of being in first in the West is not a fluke. Like, they belong there. They have that talent. I understand, though, that you do want to see that put on display for a playoff series and then two. I get that part.
It's a Minnesota sports thing than it is a Timberwolves thing. And I know the Timberwolves haven't really also been in this uncharted territory where they're the number one team in a loaded conference, but it's a Minnesota sports thing that is lingering over there. And by the way, everyone keeps saying they're going to fall off. They're going to fall off. They've been in first place for 90% of the season.
They've played 60 games. Yeah.
They're not going to get trucked.
No.
Could they fall to the first part of this? Could Oklahoma City and or Denver pass them in the standings? Yes, because there's a game separating these teams right now, or a game and a half.
The end of the world.
So, yeah, could that happen? And then you get a there's going to be a bunch of tough first-round matchups, but there isn't a team in the Western Conference. Like, in almost every other year of the Timberwolves' history, including the best season in franchise history, 03-04. There was always a team in the Western Conference where you're like, well, if they face that team, they're probably getting beat. And the Lakers were kind of that team in 2003-04. They had Kobe, Shaq. They had the three-peat, you know, before.
And that Kings team was good. Like, everyone knew, like, this is going to be a dogfight of it. That was a semifinal Game 7 insane series.
But there's no team. I'm not saying the Wolves are going to steamroll through the West, but there is no team in the West that I don't think they can beat in a seven-game series.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I mean, to go back to when they played the Kings or the Lakers, they also didn't get trucked then. Like if there's a fear that they're going to show up and just get their drawers blown off by a team that's like, okay, now we're going to start playing, I'm not concerned about that.
I want the Warriors in the first round.
Now, can you dismiss the fact that Cat might have a few games where he goes back to being Cat because it's the playoffs? You can't dismiss it. But I do think this is a very talented basketball team, and I think it's structured well. And I really do believe that if they disappoint, it's going to be solely on them. It's not going to be because they just met a superior opponent.
Yeah. The Warriors have been red hot lately. At one point, they were 500 on January 27th.
They're playing great right now. They beat the Knicks last night.
Yep. And since then, that was a road game, too. They beat the Knicks by double digits. And since then, they are 500. So the Warriors are definitely trying hard now that the calendar has flipped.
And I guess Steph is struggling a bit, which is so like they're playing well in spite of that. And did you guys see for the second consecutive year, our guy Wiggy has unfortunately left the team with a personal matter. I guess his dad was sick last year, and they're not saying what's wrong this time. But
interesting cat. Yeah. Well, hopefully everything is okay. By the way, on the Warriors, Klay Thompson coming off the bench like the last couple weeks too has been big for them. I still want them, though. I want them in the first round.
Well, you're going to get a tough team. I don't disagree with you on that. I think you're going to get a tough team no matter what.
But let's just take a deep breath on the doom and gloom. Yeah, this is super fun. This feels like the beginning of a window here, too, with Anthony Edwards and Naz Reid is, 23, 24 years old? Yeah, whatever Jaden becomes as a player. So, all right. Well, that's a wrap on this Feedback Friday edition of Flagrant Howls. The best thing you can do to help keep growing this show is give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and click that like button and the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel. For Sports Dad Judd, for producer Dex, for Jim Pete and Kyle and Ross and everyone in the Flagrant House.
More Jim Pete.
Definitely more Jim Pete. Love Jim Pete.